We're going to talk now about those who cared for the wounded 1 year ago and the toll it took on them. In our special series 26.2, WBUR has been featuring the voices of survivors and first responders. Among them, David King, a trauma surgeon at Mass General Hospital and a veteran of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Last year, David King ran in the Boston Marathon. An hour after he crossed the finish line, the bombs went off and he shifted from runner to doctor. As he recalls, the wounds he saw in the ER were a lot like those he'd seen in war zones.
The curtains were open to the trauma bays. I could see two or three of them. And that was the moment that I knew it wasn't a kitchen fire or a manhole explosion or something like that. It was clearly some kind of improvised explosive device. It was a pattern of injury that I could see from 20 feet away that I had seen 1,000 times in Iraq and Afghanistan. And within about 2 or 3 minutes of arriving in the emergency room, I was taking one of the first patients to the operating room. Our decade of war experience has taught us a lot of lessons that now have largely become standard of care. In the past, we used to perform one big, long operation that fixed everything that was wrong with them. We recognize now that that's probably not the right approach. Instead, what we do, the first operation is meant to just stop bleeding and control infection, usually a very short operation. Then we send those patients back to the intensive care unit for a day or two, and we bring them back to the operating room and we do a little bit more, and they go back to the ICU and so on. You know, some patients recovering faster than others, some patients taking months before they would discharge from the hospital.
That's Dr. David King, a trauma surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital. His recollection comes from the WBUR Oral History Project, a collaboration with Northeastern University's Our Marathon Boston Bombing Digital Archive. Our coverage of the anniversary 26.2 is produced by WBUR's Kelly Horan with interviews conducted by Jane Guberman. And joining us now is Reverend John Polk. He's the director of chaplaincy at Massachusetts General Hospital. That means he directed the team who counseled patients and hospital staff after last year's attack. And Reverend Polk, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So you were actually a spectator at the marathon. Can you tell us where you were and why you were there?
I was standing just a few yards away, actually, from where the first bomb went off. I happened to leave about 45 minutes before the bomb went off because my son, who I was there watching, had crossed the finish line, so I had left by the time the bomb went off.
What do you remember most from that day? I mean, what sticks in your mind?
There are a couple of images that stick in my mind. The first thing that I did after leaving home and getting to work was going right to the command center and gathering around the table. After learning and hearing and listening, the most immediate thing that we can do and the most important thing we can do is simply get to as many patients and families as possible. So I deployed chaplains to the emergency department. I deployed chaplains to one of the family waiting rooms where some of the families were waiting. Some of the chaplains were on the telephone. Some were counseling people who were distraught and needed some comfort immediately. The needs that day were immediate. Those who went to the emergency department, for example, were asked to help contact family members. One of my chaplains said a prayer and a blessing over a patient who was about to go into surgery. So it was very much about meeting whatever needs that we could meet.
I think when it comes to talking to people of faith on a day like that, the question that always comes to mind is why?
I think it's safe to say that that question probably isn't asked on that very day that it happened, because what people are dealing with most immediately is the trauma. Mm-hmm. It's the shock. It's the pain. It's the immediate change in their life that's so drastic. I think that question of why this happens would come much later.
Yeah.
I think the question can be asked or is asked in events like this in a way that cries out in pain, like some of the psalmists in the Old Testament are crying out in pain, why, oh God, why is this happening to me? We will hear cries like that, but the deeper reflection and the deeper search for meaning about this kind of thing, I think, comes much later, after people begin to acknowledge the shock and deal with the trauma that they've been through.
So to go back to that day a year ago, I have to imagine that probably one of the most important things that you and your team would do for these people was just to listen.
That is one of the most important things we do. It sounds like a very simple thing to do. It sounds like, well, we're not doing much. But in fact, when people are faced with trauma, when we meet them where they are, just being there with them, even if it's without many words, being a calming presence, being somebody that can stand by them, that can hold their hand, that can pray with them if they want. But our task is to be with them in whatever way is helpful and supportive to them. And frankly, it's really not a time where a lot of conversation happens because, again, people are traumatized, people are in shock, and it's not a time to start figuring things out about why things like this happen.
How are folks at MGH today? What do you hear? How do you think they're thinking about this anniversary?
I think there's a wide variety of thought and feeling about it. I think it's important that the race be run this year. I think it's important and critical that those who didn't finish the race if they want to, if they need to. But I think there's an awful lot of feeling amongst the staff that we're eager for this day to come, to do our job well. But I think we're also very anxious to get this day over with, frankly.
To move on.
Not to move on in a way that dismisses what happened, but the anniversary is bringing back an awful lot of thoughts and feelings to an awful lot of people. And I've been debating about whether I want to go to the race on Marathon Monday. And I'm not going to. I need to be at the hospital. I need to be where I'm stationed. That's the community I need to be with, so I'm not going to be at the race.
What is your advice to people whose feelings about the tragedy are resurfacing on this anniversary?
My advice is to not deal with them alone. Be in relationship with people who care about you and with whom you care so that you can get the support that you need, whether it be clergy or family or friends or therapists or the team that you work with. Be with people who care about you and who can support you. Find ways to share feelings, talk about what happened, tell stories, and take good care of yourself in whatever way that's meaningful to you.
That's Reverend John Polk. He's the director of chaplaincy at Massachusetts General Hospital. Reverend Polk, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Well, a little later in the show, we'll take a look at how the motto of One Boston may not resonate the same way in all parts of the city. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.